Please stand in body or in spirit. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another, keeping a time for silence and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are liable to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may abide in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to Uzziah, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Uzziah said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you now to read responsively with me Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You made us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 1st chapter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from the house of David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles, for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to be Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 1st chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
This is the genesis of Jesus the Messiah. This is the nativity of Jesus the Messiah according to Matthew, the more famous nativity we, of course, save for Christmas. Now, the birth, sorry, now the genesis of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord conveniently appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's what the name Jesus means. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, by the way. We just heard Kevin read this. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. He named him Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So if you've been following along with me, with us during Advent, not on Sundays, but on Wednesdays, I have been preaching on the power of yes, the power of yes. And we have covered a few yeses. We've covered Zechariah's yes. It was a doubtful yes. We've covered John the Baptist's yes. It was a very loud yes, but it wasn't a yes that pointed at himself, pointed to Jesus. And then we covered Mary's very vulnerable yes. If you're like, "Well, I didn't go to all those services," it's fine. Go to the internet and you can find them. I posted videos of each one of these. And I don't get to do many sermon series because we're lectionary people. I preach the lectionary. So I decided this year we're going to continue that Advent series into the Sunday right before Christmas, and then it will culminate on Christmas. So if you want to catch up, go back to our YouTube page. You'll find those. Today we talk about Joseph. We will also be talking about someone else's yes. And then that someone else's yes will be the center of our Christmas yes. Now, the birth of Connie Sayre, that's my mom, it took place in this way. From the beginning, Connie was impatient. Is Grandma impatient? Yes. She kind of, yep, thank you. Hope she doesn't listen to that, Ben. She didn't need a hospital. She didn't wait for a hospital. She was born in a car on the way to the hospital. Okay? This is a great story. It's a great birth story. It's unique. It's funny. It's still fitting to her impatient personality, we'll just say several decades later. Didn't want to give you the number of years exactly. And while my mom, she has a servant's heart and her good works, they do benefit her neighbor both now and will do so long after she is gone. I do believe this. It would be a little bit dramatic for me to attach grand cosmic significance to her human birth story, wouldn't it? It would be a little strange for me to say, as I did with Jesus a little bit ago, now the genesis of Connie Sayre took place in this way. That kind of sets the difference between us and Jesus, doesn't it? Jesus' birth story, it is something grand and cosmic. So when Matthew says, "Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah," took place in this way, it makes sense that he might use the Greek word Genesis for birth. Now, the Genesis of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. There are other Greek words for birth. I'm not going to bore you with them, but Matthew's gospel chooses this word Genesis. This same Greek word Genesis, it comes up one other time in Matthew's gospel, in a very important place. In the first verse, in fact, it says, "And the account of the genealogy." Anyone want to guess which one is Genesis? Genealogy. "An account of the Genesis of Jesus, the Messiah, who is the son of David, the son of Abraham." That's how Matthew's gospel begins. When the Hebrew scriptures, okay, when the Hebrew scriptures, when they were translated from the original Hebrew to the Greek, there was a verse that used this word, Genesis, in the Greek. And it shows up where? Catechism students, help me out. What's the first book of the Bible? Please. I heard it. I thought I heard it. We're going to say I heard it. It was Genesis. These are the generations, it says. These are the genesis of the heavens and the earth. This comes from the creation story that begins in the second chapter of Genesis. These are the genesis of the heavens and the earth. The same word that talks about Jesus' birth in Matthew. Matthew is doing something here with his words. Matthew is pointing back to the beginning in Jesus' birth, all the way to the beginning, all the way to the genesis of creation. He is making the claim that this is not just any old ordinary birth. Matthew is bearing witness to a new creation that is coming into being in this world in Jesus by pointing us to Abraham. Matthew is also making something clear. He's saying that through this baby, through Jesus the Messiah, there is a promise that was made to Abraham, and it will be fulfilled through this baby. And through him, creation will be restored. This is a bold promise that is laid out there at the beginning of Matthew. What is that promise? From the 12th chapter of Genesis, we hear the promise. "I will bless those who bless you," the Lord says to Abraham, "and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed," shall be blessed. There is this overarching structure of promise, of restoration of creation that takes place throughout our scriptures, and it is linked to this verse. By the time God speaks this promise to Abraham, creation has already done some been broken. Humanity has already said yes many, many times. Their yes was always to sin. Over and over and over again, we said yes to sin. And still, God shows up here in the 12th chapter of Genesis and says to this random dude in the middle of nowhere, "I will bless you." Not because he deserved it, not because Abraham deserved it, not because humanity deserves this blessing, but because God refuses to abandon us and all of creation. It's quite a promise. That promise is what Matthew is tracing. It is a promise that he is tracing. God's yes, taking on human flesh to restore all of creation. That's quite an incredible promise, isn't it? So when Matthew says this, that the genesis of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way, he is making a very divine proclamation. God's promise is taking flesh in the here and the now. And his name is Jesus. And through him, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Jesus is God's yes to us, the sinful and broken people of a sinful and broken creation. But Matthew's genealogy in the first chapter of Matthew that came right before the birth story of Jesus, the Genesis of Jesus, makes something clear. We humans are not simply bystanders in this story. It shows us how God's promise keeps moving forward through real people. And now at the end of that very long list of names in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, there is one man. One man. There is one man where this promise comes to rest. If only for a moment this promise settles on him, Joseph, in this moment, finds himself caught between God's promise on the one hand and a very real human predicament on the other hand. And we're human. We live in this world. We understand this predicament that Joseph is in. This is a very real human predicament. The Genesis of Jesus the Messiah, it continues in this way. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Suppose that's supposed to make me feel better. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Saying yes to this will most certainly have consequences for Joseph. He's not... Okay, you go tell that story to someone about you. Let me know how they take it. Let me know if they believe it. He's not going to be believed. He will be pulled in to Mary's shame and public disgrace. For the moment, this shame belongs to her and her alone and her family. He doesn't need to pull himself and his family into that. So, of course, he has a very long list of questions that he's going to ask this angel before he moves forward, before he says yes. Right? I mean, we read all of those questions today, didn't we? Flip. Did he say no? Man, he must have been listening. Let's check it out. I just want to see. What's it say here? Oh. It says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. He didn't ask any questions. What's up with that? Holy Spirit or not, Joseph just married a woman who is pregnant with a child that is not his. Allow that to sink into our human brains. He did it without explanation, without a single word. Joseph's is a very silent yes. Joseph receives the promise. Mary will bear a son. He will save the people from their sins. And he does not try to control the promise. He does not try to improve on this promise. He does not try to bargain with the angel over this promise. He simply trusts it. And then he does what? He acts according to the promise. He forgets that earlier plan, that quiet and understandable no that is allowed by the law, by the way. In saying yes to God, he says yes to Mary and to Jesus. And through this yes, he protects and legitimizes them in their time of dire need. Joseph, he takes Mary as his wife and names her son Jesus. Joseph names her Jesus. Sorry, Joseph names him Jesus. Mary does not do the naming. In naming Jesus, Joseph is adopting him. He makes Jesus not just his son, but the son of David, the son of Abraham, the fulfillment of the promise through him, all the families of the earth. All the families of the earth
will be blessed. Do you know what this means? I mean, do we really fully comprehend what this means? When it says all the families of the earth will be blessed, we, once outsiders, have been pulled into this story. We have been adopted into this story, adopted into the promise that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The promise, it's for us too. And this is incredible. It is from this place that all of our yeses flow. When we understand that we are not deserving of God's yes to us, and that feeling fully clings to us, we realize how much grace is involved, how much mercy is involved, and we have no other choice but to say yes. This is the place from which all our yeses flow. So whether that yes is a silent yes like Joseph's, I have a feeling that there are a lot of silent yeses in this room. It's kind of the nature of Lutherans, isn't it? We're not loud and bombastic like John the Baptist, at least not many of us. Whether our yes is doubtful like Zechariah's, or whether it's a vulnerable yes like Mary's, our yes always flows from God's yes. And a yes that flows from God's promise is always a powerful yes. When our yes to God flows from God, it might just offer safety, security, legitimacy, and hope to those who, like Mary and the unborn Jesus, find themselves exposed, vulnerable, despised, or forgotten. Remember, we are not just bystanders in this story. God's promise keeps moving forward through real, actual people. And I don't see any AI people in here today. I don't. I think you're all real, actual people, which means that God's promise keeps moving forward through us, too. We are called sometimes to very difficult and courageous yeses, and those yeses are for all the people of this earth, which is good because we're counted in that all. Now, I must caution us. Our yes is not the yes of salvation, is it? My mom, for all of the difficult and courageous yeses that she has said in her life, and she has said many in her several decades since that roadside birth, she has not and she will not save this world. She's tried, I think. But Andrea's laughing. Called you out. She's not going to save this world. I can assure you this, and I know this because we tell her birth story, we don't tell her Genesis story. You know what that means? It kind of means it's not really about us, is it? Joseph's silent yes, it's a faithful yes, it's an incredible yes, but neither is his yes the promise. His story is not ultimately this story. Is not ultimately about Joseph, because it isn't Joseph who saves his people from their sins. God's promise does not rest on the strength of Joseph's faith or my mom's faith, and it does not rest on the strength of our faith either. And that is such good news, because when our yes wavers, when it falters, or when it never comes at all, and that will happen in these sometimes very painful lives of ours, take heart in knowing that God's yes has already taken flesh, even though it's still Advent. His name is Jesus. That is God's yes. That is, by the way, probably going to be a good part of my Christmas sermon. And through Jesus, all the families, hear that? All the families of the earth will be blessed. Sorry. All the families of the earth are blessed. Which is why today we will sing joy to the world. Amen. but not yet. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Our prayers of intercession, is with a heavy heart that I have to tell you that Gloria Schnigelsberger passed away on Friday. We are also praying for Ed Knopfsinger, who I believe started treatment for, I'll just leave it with that, but please pray for Ed. Are there other prayers this morning? Steve? Okay.
Teresa.
Yes. Yes, Mike is recovering from a surgery, and we will be praying for him for a quick and full recovery. Let us pray. In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, and the whole creation.
The earth breaks forth in singing as it heralds the Messiah's coming. Fill our hearts with wonder as we join heaven and nature in announcing this holy birth. As we gather and worship here at First Lutheran, and are sent into our worldly vocations, help us to sing your song of hope through our words and actions here in Galleon, Crawford County, and to the ends of the earth. God of grace,
hear our prayer. When tears of grief, exhaustion, or loneliness come, or physical or emotional hurt overwhelms us, come to our aid. Uphold all who are anxious, who know the challenges of depression, or who are ill, especially Sally, Ed, Jack Jr., Pastor Tim, Jeff, Tony, Kyle, Marlene, Chloe, the family and friends of Gloria, Steve, Teresa, Peggy, Mike, Rick, Lori, those on our long-term homebound and assisted living and limited mobility prayer lists, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Surround expectant parents and those longing for children with communities of support. Comfort all who grieve the loss of children or grandchildren, and uphold those who walk with children or grandchildren facing illness or hardship. Bless young children and all who care for them, and guide us in ways that provide safety, compassion, and faithful presence for families in every season of life. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, you are water in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Through this meal, satisfy our parched places that we may rejoice and be for the world signs of your kingdom come. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass us. And the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As we await his coming, he is already here. Come to his table where all are always welcome. Eat, drink, and be restored.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. God, our host, at this table you have fed us with joy and gladness. Send us forth, eager to share the feast, welcome the stranger, and bear good fruit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I have to say, the worship and music committee today did a fantastic job. That timing on that communion hymn, we picked one hymn, and it ended perfectly. Nailed it, Adam. Worship and music committee, well done. Okay, so, biggest announcement we have, the biggest announcement is catechism, of course. We have catechism after church today till 1:30. You know, Lucy, as an alumnus, you're welcome to join us. Is it bad that I had that joke in my head most of the service? Anyway. Okay. But really, the big announcement is Wednesday, 7 p.m., we will have Christmas Eve worship here. We will begin at about 6:45, maybe a bit earlier, with some pre-service music. If you want to be involved in probably an itty-bitty little choir, but still a choir that's going to sing some of that music, we are going to rehearse that after worship here with Adam. So please feel free to stay and join us for that. And you know, if you're looking to get out of catechism for a little bit, go ahead. Also, I apologize if you didn't get one of these, but we did send out some Christmas cards to the congregation. If you didn't get one, you should have. And so if you don't end up getting one, let me know and we'll make sure that we have your address updated right and all the things. But anyway, inside of that, there's this little thing about like this, little postcard that says when Christmas Eve worship is. Take that, since you've already seen it. This is your silent yes for, I am giving you instructions, okay? You have one silent yes between now and Wednesday. Take that little postcard and go give it to someone because you already have the information now. You don't need it anymore. Take it and give it to one person so that they know that they are invited to worship here on Christmas Eve. So, 7 p.m., I hope to see you here, and if you have other plans, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Am I allowed to say that? I think so. Other announcements. Brian got it. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I think it was in the bulletin last week. So, yeah, I forgot to add that to the announcements. I'll try to remember to add it to next week's announcements and the following weeks as well. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, you could be Presbyterian. I'll allow it for one day. You can go to the Presbyterian Church at 2 p.m. Any other announcements this morning? I feel like I'm missing something, but. Everything else is in here. Again, there are a lot of people hurting in the congregation right now. Please take a look at that prayer list. Check in on some of the folks that we either named or are on that list, okay? And prayers, and please help them feel God's love, the love of Jesus through you and through your caring at this time, okay? All right, with that, please stand for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you with grace and mercy. This never happens.
I'm going to start over. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Be afraid, the child to be born is holy and will save his people.
Emmanuel, God is with us.
Go in peace, carrying the hope of Christ to a weary world.